Okay. Hello, everybody. Welcome. I see everybody getting in here. I am Coach Lisa. Just going to get things set up. And we have Coach Judith in the chat. There we go. So Coach Judith will be in the chat for everybody. She will be typing in all caps so that you know that that is her and she's easy to see. She will also, I think she will be in the Q&A as well. If she's able to put up her hand, I can promote her to be in the Q&A as well. And oh, hi, Jackie. Yes, some of my own clients. There we go. We got Coach Judith. Sorry, guys. Let me figure out how to promote her. So this chat, this coaching call is sign up by sign up. So if you signed up and were chosen, please raise your hand as well. There we go. We have a few of you. All right. We have Carrie will be up first. Let me just make sure I'm actually getting Coach Judith promoted here. So for those of you who don't know who I am, I will introduce myself a little bit first. I always feel a little weird doing this, but I am married. I have three children and they're all in their 20s. I've been with my husband almost 30 years now. And yeah, we have the three kids in their 20s. I have two grandchildren. We have a lot of excitement going on around here right now because we have a wedding coming up this summer, which is very exciting. My middle daughter is getting married. First wedding amongst the kids. So that'll be kind of cool. And my youngest actually gets is buying a house. So she gets her first house tomorrow. Tomorrow or the next day, Thursday, I think it is. So that is pretty exciting as well around here. And I get very excited phone calls all the time. So yeah, that's what's going on in my world, aside from being in No BS and being here for you guys. I'm a private coach with No BS. So I, as you saw, I have my clients in there. I have private clients that I coach one-on-one. That's primarily what I do. And then sometimes I get to do these calls. And do and see you in Facebook and that type of thing. So I'm very honored to be here and to be able to coach tonight and get to know some of you more, sort of the best part of the job. And that's about it. Right now, one of the big things going on in No BS is we are all preparing for the Summer Reset Workshop. I hope everybody knows about that and is getting ready to come. If you haven't heard about it, don't know what that is, Coach Judith will post the link and then you'll be able to go check it out, but go to our website. There's right at the top of the page, you'll see it. It is a half day workshop on June 4th. It will be from 9 a.m. till 1 p.m. Central Time. And it's going to be amazing. It's going to get you ready for the summer, having knowing exactly what to do, how to go to the summer parties and have fun, how to be spontaneous all summer without spontaneously gaining weight. So this is a great place for you to go. So we're going to kick that off the week before with our Doable Hunger Challenge. So if you haven't checked that out, you will find the worksheet for that inside of the Conquering the Scale course. You'll find the This or That worksheet. So challenge. And that one is going to be so much fun. So engage in that. And if you've finished the Conquering the Scale course early, start that. Get into that and try out some of those This or That challenges. All right. I am going to get going here then. And I'm going to call on Carrie. I'm going to promote you to panelist. And then we should see Carrie up here and we'll get going. Okay. I'm going to ask you to unmute, Carrie. There we go. Hi.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Well, thanks. All right. So, do you want to tell us why you wanted to be coached or what you wrote in about?
Yes. Okay. So, I sit down to journal. Yeah. First of all, my background, I have three kids who are 12 and 10 and 7.
Okay.
I have three horses, two dogs, two cats, 10 chickens. Okay. My husband is a physician, so he works a lot of hours. So I do all the house and all the farm and all the kid stuff. And we're also building a house and setting up a new farm, and we're moving this everything over this summer.
Okay.
So there's a lot.
You don't have a lot going on, is what you're telling me?
Yeah, it's pretty. Okay. What I wrote is, I love what I do. I love the animals and I love the kids and I love all of it. I do it when I'm driving around or when I'm doing things. I hear a lot of my thoughts and I hear things that I want to work on. But I also, like, when I sit down to actually journal about it, I just get completely, like, it's just like a stare there at, you know, and if I look at the journal prompts, like, I try that to see, like, okay, what if I just take one of these prompts every day? And it just doesn't feel genuine. I'm not sure why. I know that journaling would help me. I've been trying to get the same 40, 50 pounds since I joined in August, and I'll lose 5 pounds and gain it back. But I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that I can't get my brain out of overwhelm because I have, 10 buckets open in my brain that I'm constantly like reorganizing. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So when I sit down to journal, I want to be able to write, but I just stare there. I have nothing to write about.
Okay. So what I'm hearing is that you don't currently journal. Do you fill out your planner?
Yeah, halfway for the most part. I mean, I write my food plan and then I usually write, a little bit. I don't always do the full page. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So you journal.
So you would call that journaling? I want to dive deeper into my thinking and I want to try to change some of my thinking.
Okay.
So I don't know how to make that come out.
Force yourself to journal?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like we're putting an awful lot of pressure on journaling. And don't get me wrong, I think journaling is fantastic. But it's sort of like you're saying, this is what I have to do in order to lose weight?
Yeah.
What do you have to do to lose weight? What are the four basics?
Doable hunger, water, sleep. It's the fourth one. Follow your plan. I don't remember.
Planning and assessing. Yeah.
Okay.
That's what the four basics are.
Okay.
Well, the journaling isn't amazing, but it's sort of like, it's almost like are you doing the four basics or how are you doing with those?
I'm doing really well with all but one.
Which one?
Sticking to my plan.
Okay. So is journaling going to help with that?
I feel like it will. I feel like a lot of the calls that I've heard Corinne do on stuff is, journal, 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 and thinking. And so when I think about it, I'm like, okay, well, maybe I need to do that to try and figure out, I'll hear a thought. I'll be like, okay, that would be a good one to write about. But then when I sit down later to write about it, I'm like, I don't know. I don't know why I'm not doing it.
It's okay. Have you ever done a discovery worksheet?
Mm-hmm.
That's more journaling.
Mm-hmm. I feel like it's even if it's the same thing that you're writing down over and over again.
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely. Because you're going to really start recognizing and try to go deeper. Take it to ask coaches. Do you have one like a recent discovery worksheet? We could go through it.
I didn't put my planner next to me.
Okay. Well, yeah, you can totally take one of your discovery worksheets to ask coaches, right? This is what I wrote, and get some feedback there as well. But so why are we off plan eating then? Give an example of the last time it happened.
I think most of the time it happens in the evening. Mm-hmm. We'll get home from doing stuff with the kids, and I'll have a bunch of chores that need to be done, and the house is not picked up like I want it to be. And I just find myself like shutting down. And in my head, I think, oh, if I could sit down and write about what I'm feeling right then, but there's honestly not time to sit down and get everything out because I've got hungry kids and I've got animals that need stuff done. So sitting down in those moments and writing about it is what I wish I could do.
But that's not possible right then. So
right.
Next best. Are you familiar with the four ends process? Mm-hmm. Okay. So we can normalize. You have this thought, I should sit down and write and think through what I'm thinking right now. Like, of course we're going to think that because we've heard it. We've heard that journaling is great. We've heard that this could be the key. Mm-hmm. And we neutralize it with the facts that you just mentioned. Kids need to be fed. You don't have time right now. So what's your next best thought about it?
I don't know. I'm thinking about all the thoughts that I actually have because I've tried to do this process.
Okay.
You know, there's a lot of shoulds that go through my head. So I'm trying to think of what would be a good thing to tell myself in that moment. And I'm honestly drawing a blank.
Okay. So what if it's just something along the lines of this isn't the time?
Yeah.
Another way to approach it would be to take it to, well, my goal is weight loss. My goal is understanding what I'm thinking. What if I just notice what I'm thinking?
Yeah. Just make it okay to just notice it in the moment.
Notice it in the moment. That is where it starts. 100%, that's where it starts, is by noticing it in the moment and meeting yourself where you're at. Because it sounds like some of those shoulds are coming from then beating yourself up for it not going exactly the way your brain is telling you it should go.
Yeah.
But when you're thinking that, how does that feel?
Oh, well, like you just messed everything up.
Yeah. And when we're feeling like that, how's that set us up for the next thing we do? Might as well just eat too.
Yeah. Well, for me, it's pouring a wine.
Okay. Might as well just have the wine. We're already messing things up and we haven't figured out this journaling thing. Right.
Yeah. I guess if I have to do all these things and get all these things done, then I'll just do something fun while I'm at it.
Yeah.
So.
But then we don't get it done, right? We don't figure it out.
I was talking to my accountability partner and she said, you know, just break it down into what can you do for the next 5 minutes or what can you do? You know, what's the next thing? What can you accomplish? And, I don't know.
Next best decision, next best thought, next best action. But it all starts from noticing what you are thinking.
Okay.
Noticing those thoughts that aren't getting you where you want to go.
So what would you suggest to do when I do have time to sit down and journal and I'm staring at the paper and I feel like I have nothing, either I have not, I don't know where to start or I have nothing genuine to say, or I'm afraid someone's going to find it and read it after I'm done. Or I just like, I have all these things where it's like, on one hand, it's something I want to do. And on the other hand, it's something that I am mentally blocking myself from doing.
Okay. So first I would answer the questions of, okay, what if someone finds it? What if they find it? What are they going to find?
My honest thoughts, things from my brain.
I mean, you have options. You could do it and rip it up and throw it away.
Yeah.
You could do it and lock it in a cupboard.
Yeah.
Right? Like there's practical things to do that stop that from happening. You could not just leave it laying out open like I do, but you could also decide it doesn't matter.
Mine tends to stay like on my counter or on my table, like
right there. And my household knows exactly what my no BS planner looks like. And if they were to choose to read it, that's on them.
Yeah.
So just like I wouldn't go around reading random things that they have lying around or notebooks they have lying around.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, maybe it's different if you're writing, oh, my kids are a pain. I don't know. What if you're writing things like your deepest, darkest thoughts about them sometimes, maybe you don't want to leave it lying around, right?
Yeah.
But that's where you have control. You can hide it between the mattress. You could, you can put it away if that's really important. So remind your brain that you're not just going to be leaving government secrets lying around. This is, it's okay. So that's step one.
Okay.
So now that you've calmed your brain down that like, of course I might be worried about this because I'm afraid of what I might put down. Okay. Normal. If it's secrets, I'll hide it. Then you just start writing. Now, I would really recommend that you could start with your discovery worksheets. That's a great place to start with journaling, like, but get more specific, dig a bit deeper, ask the question to yourself over and over. The question, why, is a great one to add to anything you write. Okay. Why? Why am I thinking this? Why am I thinking that? Why did that come up? Okay. So those journal prompts are great too. And you just start writing. You just take the pen and you can write. I don't know what to write. The question is this, and I'm not sure what to write. And because it becomes a practice of just being comfortable sitting with yourself and your own thoughts.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. It's reminding yourself it's good.
I mean, I think that's really helpful to give myself permission to just write. I don't know what to write.
Yeah.
You know, and just start with that.
I'm not sure what to write. You can start with, I'm thinking this, or this is how the day went. You can even start with that and then start practicing noticing in your journaling what stuff are thoughts, what stuff are facts. Because we think a lot, like we think a lot of our thoughts are facts, and they aren't always.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's really helpful to put them on paper and just get to know them. Okay.
Well, that's a good place to start.
All right.
All right. Well, thank you.
Give yourself permission.
All right. We'll do.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for coming on tonight. Being the first one. That was very brave.
Thanks.
All right. Take care.
Bye.
Bye. I'm going to, what am I doing? Putting you down here. I didn't change. There we go. And we will call on Penny. Let's see. Penny, I'm going to promote you. And then we have Genesee and Terry here. Yes, it's always so great to meet people on here. And I know some of you are nervous, but don't worry, I get nervous too sometimes. So hi, Penny.
Hi.
How are you?
I am surviving.
Okay. Tell me.
It's been the hardest 2 weeks of my life. Okay. I joined in March. I was doing really well. I lost almost 20 pounds. Mm-hmm. I was planning faithfully. I was doing the things. Mm-hmm. And 2 weeks ago on the weekend, we had gone south to my mother-in-law's memorial service. And my husband stayed to close out probate and take care of those things. And he came home Wednesday around noon and said we needed to talk. And he came home to get his clothes. Mm-hmm. I was pretty surprised, to say the least. We're not young. We're both 63. And it was heartbreaking. Okay. And I kind of survived for a little while. My friends and family, my neighbors just encircled me. And they have really taken care of me. But, and then the next week I got COVID. Okay. And I've just been really sick. And so I was alone. I was sick. I was heartbroken. And I just really don't know how to put anything back together. You know, I have to rebuild my life at 63. This was not something I wanted. He's already come back and moved everything out. He filed the paperwork online. Today, he told me yesterday. So he's already filed. We're not going to use attorneys, but he's already filed online. And he basically took his inheritance check and his clothes and left. And I think if I hadn't have gotten sick, I could have stayed on plan, because I posted and I had a lot of responses that, you know, he had left, and I had that bag of potato chips and the White Claw. I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah,
and
I think I did.
I didn't overeat. I just knew it wasn't going to help me.
Yeah.
To just drown my sorrows. I knew it wasn't going to help.
It sounds like a lot more than just surviving.
I think I could have done a lot better had I not gotten sick, because once I did get sick and I was surprised at how sick I was. My neighbors and friends were bringing me food.
Yeah.
And a lot of it was ice cream, because that was the only thing I could eat. My throat was so sore. So I kind of made the decision. I'm not worrying about it right now. I'm going to try to get my health back.
Yeah.
But now I have to rethink everything. I have to rethink dinners, because it's just me.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate to cook. I always cooked because I wanted my husband to have a dinner, and I didn't really care what we had, you know. So I've got to put everything back together, and I don't really know where to start, because I ordered these self-help books from Amazon, like on divorce, and one of them is a lot of journaling, which is helpful.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, do I fix my broken heart? I don't know where to start.
Yeah. And sometimes we need to start by allowing ourselves to feel the pain that we're in.
Well, I'm definitely feeling it.
It sounds like you are doing a good job of taking care of yourself through this.
I don't know. I'm trying to keep going. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have a lot of animals and we foster and rescue. So,
yeah,
you know, I have to at least keep the animals fed and mm-hmm. just clean. And I had a neonatal foster kitten. I was trying to keep going, and he's okay. But I mean, it was just, I did the things I had to do.
Yeah. You have a lot of support here in OBS as well. I have a lot of women in this chat that are there to support you.
Well, I hope that I get through it without crying, but I really just don't know. I just don't know what to do next. I don't know where to start.
Well, it sounds like you are starting by taking care of, you've got to take care of you. You've got to take care of you from day to day. I think the journaling is a great idea, right? Keep focusing on taking care of yourself. What do you need? The journaling sounds like a great idea too. It sounds like you're trying, you're reaching out, you're gathering support.
It's just, it's been the darkest 2 weeks of my life.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, I have all of those, as Corinne would say, old shitty thoughts coming back as to what did I do? You know I have some responsibility in this, but.
And it would be normal for a thought like that to come up when there's confusion over what exactly happened or, right? So you can do the same thing if we take, you know, pen and paper and do the four ends. Of course, I'm thinking this. Here's the facts. This is what's going on. It doesn't sound like there's negotiation happening. This is, no. So
no, he made it clear because I asked him to at least consider a trial or go to counseling, and no, he's done.
Yeah. So you got to keep doing what you're doing, which is focusing on what has to be done. We've talked about this before as like our minimum baselines. People set those for all kinds of things, but this is a really good time to do that. To have a protocol of, okay, I get out of bed. I get dressed. I feed the animals. Is that what you said? You feed the animals?
I actually make a list every morning of what to do. I clean myself up is the first one. Take a shower.
You are amazing.
I don't.
So what's wrong with what you're doing right now?
I don't feel like I'm making any progress, and I'm very lost, and I feel like my sadness is just almost debilitating. That's why I'm making a list every day of, you know, take a shower, put your clothes on, feed the animals, change the litter boxes, clean the foster kitten room. I just have to make a list and just like robotically do it, or I would just sit down and just give up. I think I would just give up.
Yeah. But you're not. And you're making that list and you're following through with that list. What else could you add to that list?
The list of things to do.
Mm-hmm.
Let me look at what I have on here. I have take care of my health. Be thankful for who and what I have in my life.
Yeah.
Have faith in myself and do something for someone else. That's so my list today.
And if you start at the beginning, take care of my health, what does that look like?
Well, I'm trying to get over COVID. It's shocking how bad I felt. And, you know, I'm on the recovery end now. I just have some fatigue and cough, but I'm trying to just stay hydrated and eat whatever I feel like eating. I'm not being careful at all because I just don't really care what I eat, but I realize it's not going to be helpful to me. If I had hadn't gotten sick, I think I might have done a little bit better.
It's really important to meet yourself where you are. This is where you are today.
But I don't know, like, do I work on making my plan? Do I work on handling my emotions? I don't know what to do first, I guess.
I don't know that there's a right or wrong answer. It's part of meeting yourself where you are. I think it would be a great idea to write your plan. Give it a try.
I'm just really, really overwhelmed.
Does it feel overwhelming to write your plan?
Yes.
Then maybe you're not there right now.
Because I don't really care what I eat. I just don't.
Yeah.
Eat whatever somebody drops off on my front porch, basically.
Well, maybe that's the plan right now. The plan right now, while I'm still in this and feeling a lot of emotion, is to accept the help from other people. To notice.
I have had amazing, amazing support. My neighbors have mowed my grass. They bring me food. My friends are, I mean, I've had a lot of support, but it's really, really hard when you have to be alone because of COVID. It's hard that you can't go out and take a walk with your friend, or I go horseback riding. I can't go riding. I don't feel like it. So the things I would normally do, I can't go to the gym and meet my friends at the gym like I do a couple of times a week because I just can't. So my whole routine is just everything. Yeah. From I'm living alone all of a sudden, which I haven't done in 40 years. I don't know. I'm living alone.
Yeah. So of course there's going to be this sense of not knowing which direction we're going to go, and we can't really do anything. So let's, if you didn't have COVID, what would you do?
Well, I would go horseback riding. That would be my thing tomorrow.
Could you do that tomorrow, or are you still not able to do that?
I don't think I can because of the coughing. I've done really well so far, but sometimes I just go into coughing fits, and I don't really want to go to the barn and be around other people right now anyway. So the only thing I could do, I don't feel like doing, which would be like take a walk. And I'm just too tired. I'm just fatigued. Like I tried today, I was working on my granddaughter's playroom, and I had to just like every 10 or 15 minutes sit down and rest.
Mm-hmm. So could you walk, or I don't know, do you live in the country or in the city?
No, I live in town.
Could you walk around the block?
I could.
It might do you some good to get some fresh air.
Yeah, I think it would.
Right. And just interrupt the pattern of feeling sick and being at home, right? We try to interrupt a little bit, insert something different. Go for a walk. Sometimes use that sentence, can I just go for a walk right now? It would be a great way to take care of my health. That's on my list. I could check it off.
It's a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. And sometimes we have to accept that things are going to feel that way for a bit. We don't have to like it.
Well, I sure don't.
No. No. Sometimes it's like the world and life is 50-50. Have you ever heard that saying?
No.
Our lives consist of that. That's a human experience. 50% negative, 50% positive. Right now, you're in some of that 50% negative.
Well, I have to totally recreate my life.
Yeah, and we can.
And that's overwhelming.
It can be overwhelming, but we can do that feeling like okay, I'm going to one day, what if we just one day believe that it will get better?
Well, I mean, it will. I don't have any doubt about that. It will. You know, getting through this most painful part of shock and grief is the biggest challenge right now. I know I will eventually be okay. I don't doubt that, but
then maybe, you know, we talk a lot about our future selves. Check in with that future version of you. Say, okay, future Penny, the heck did you do? How do I get there? What's one step forward? So what sounds to you like could be one step forward towards that version of you who is feeling okay?
Well, I do have a counseling appointment next week.
Okay.
I was able to get in with a friend's counselor and I see her next week. And I think that will be helpful. You know, when I talk to my friends about this, everybody wants to be badly on my side and they want to say bad things about my husband. And I just don't feel those bad things. Yeah. You know, I feel like he did what he had to do, and he did it in a really shitty way. I have to believe that he had waited on this inheritance to leave. It certainly seems that way. But I just don't feel the bad things about him. And maybe I will later, but I just don't.
And that's part of meeting yourself where you're at. Whatever you're feeling is totally okay.
I feel like I should be angry. And I'm just not. Mm-hmm. I'm just sad.
It's part of the stages of grief.
Well, I'm looking forward to getting to anger.
Okay.
I think that will help me some when I get there.
Yeah, there you go.
So anyway, okay. I think seeing the counselor will be helpful. I just am trying to, I guess, kind of prioritize. Is it, I don't want to gain back what I've lost because I was doing so well, but I also have these other things to take care of too. And I'm just kind of unsure.
Are you questioning like how to follow the NoBS program? Is that what you, and how to keep?
No, it's just I'm not focusing very well. So anytime I sit down to do something, it's like for 2 minutes and then I'm like over it.
Yeah. But you know this is gonna get better. You already know that. You know that this too shall pass, right?
I hope so. Yes, it will.
Well, have patience with yourself. Do the best that you can now. Keep focusing. I love your list. Keep making that list. Keep following that list. And have you done the Trusting Your Body course?
No. I started it, I think, and then I went back and did 2.0.
Okay.
And then that's all I've done recently.
Well, I would really recommend that you pop into that course. And if nothing else, check out the toolkit. There is a toolkit of different tools, one of which is the tapping EFT.
I'm familiar with that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there's videos in there of Jane showing that. That is an amazing resource when we're very deep in emotions like this.
Mm-hmm.
I used it myself. Actually, I was familiar with it years ago when I had issues with my husband and we split up. And that saved me.
Mm-hmm.
I had a therapist teach it to me, but that definitely was huge. So, and I know the clients that I've recommended it to, it's magic. So if you're familiar with it, get into that toolkit and check that out. Look at some of the processes that Jane teaches in there.
Okay.
Those could be very useful.
Sounds like a plan.
All right. And don't forget to reach out. You know, we're going to ask coaches, we're in the Facebook group, keep sharing there and connecting. You'll see so much support.
And thank you. And thank you to all those ladies that have been so kind. I appreciate it very much.
Yeah, we're here for you. Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks so much, Penny.
Thank you.
All right. So much love in the chat, Penny. Yeah. Okay, I am going to call on Terry now. And then we have Genesee. Okay, Terry is coming up. Thank you, Penny, for sharing. And in the chat, I've noticed a couple, just so you guys know, make sure you've set to everyone for the chat, not hosts and panelists, because that way everyone will get to see, because I can't respond in the chat. Hi, Terry.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good, thanks. March baby.
Okay.
Brand new.
All right.
So I'll give you the background. I'm new to the program. I've just started. Okay. What I wrote in about is my struggle with my nighttime drinking.
Okay.
But I want to kind of give you background. So I haven't struggled with my weight my whole life. I've been, you know, healthy weight, except when something terrible happens, much like what our previous person just went through, Penny. My dad died when I was 16, and I went from 150 pounds to 200 pounds. It's the way that I deal with grief. And then I, you know, lost that in my 20s and 30s. I got married, had two kids, ran a consulting business. Everything's great. And I maintain my weight, you know, up and down, normal.
Okay.
But in 2015, my mom got sick with cancer.
Yeah.
And being the only parent I had left, you know, I flew back and forth to Florida, taking care of her for 18 months. And on Christmas Eve of 2017, she died. So during that time I was taking care of her, I didn't take care of myself.
Okay.
I ate and I drank too much and I just numbed myself with food and alcohol. Generally, it was wine. And, you know, then I started to get my wind back in my sails, and then my brother died in an accident. I'm going to cry. In 2018. And, you know, boom, boom, the two people left in my life gone. So after he died, I lost my desire to care anymore, you know, and I ate and drank and ate and drank. I mean, I run a consulting business, so I'm not a full-blown, like, fall down drunk. I just really go to wine to relax, right? Mm-hmm. So then I got through that initial stuff. And by the way, at this point, I went from 165 pounds when my mom was sick to 250 right now. So tremendous weight loss, gain. But it's not just the alcohol, it's the food, it's not caring about myself, it's drinking and eating and everything. So I'm also 53, so I'm going through menopause. So it's like, bam, hit me with all of it, why don't you? So then after my brother died, my sister-in-law was diagnosed with bipolar. And she got hospitalized. And I managed that because they have a 9-year-old daughter. So the bottom line is, I'm just taking care of everybody but myself. So that's why I joined this. I'm doing okay now with the food, right? Food is not my biggest draw. My biggest draw is my drinks.
Okay.
So, you know, I work all day, I eat decent, and my drinks are tied to a fear of insomnia. So I can't sleep. And especially when my brother died and my mother died, I couldn't sleep. And sleep is so critical, as I've learned in this course, and I know, period, from my own body. If I don't sleep, I don't do well. So what happens to my brain after I cook dinner and I get everybody ready for bed? My kids are, you know, I have my niece in my custody now because my sister-in-law is mentally ill. But my kids are 16 and 18, and, you know, so they're on their own. But I eat a healthy dinner. Mm-hmm. I did good all day long. And then, by the way, I switched from wine to vodka. Somebody told me that I had less sugar. So vodka tonic. So what happens is 8:30, I'm like, oh, it's 8:30. I'm never going to be able to sleep tonight. I better throw back a drink so I can sleep. A lot of it's in here, but a lot of it's not, because the days that I don't have something to drink, I lay in bed, toss and turn. I don't sleep well. So anyway, sometimes I never exceed 3 because then I wouldn't be able to function the next day. Sometimes it's just 1, which I can live with 1. 1's not going to kill me. But what happens after I have 2 or I have 3, I'm in the kitchen and I'm grab ass eating or whatever she calls it.
Yeah.
Needlessly, I'm not hungry. You know, it's just my inhibitions are down because the alcohol's on board and I just eat. And then the next morning I wake up and I'm like, I did it again. So every day in my journal, I write only have 1 drink or have no drinks, but then my brain goes, I'm never going to be able to sleep. So I'm like in this like fear of sleep mentally. I don't know. So that's why I wrote in to just say that, you know, I wish I didn't want to have a drink. I wish I wanted to do yoga. I wish I wanted to meditate, but I don't. At 9 o'clock, I'm like, I'm never going to be able to sleep. I want to pour my little drink. It's this big too. I make a very small drink and I sit in front of my TV and watch my little shows and read my book.
So it's a habit that you've created.
Completely. But I've been creating this habit for what? 7 years?
But it's not good for my body. So the great thing about that is you know you can create a habit. So if you wanted to create a habit of doing yoga or meditating, you could, because you created this one.
I know, but it doesn't feel as good, does it?
Oh, I don't know. You ask people to do that.
I know. I mean, I've done everything. So I've said, all right, I'm not going to do alcohol. I'm going to put that away. I even tried medical marijuana, which wasn't prescribed to me. But anyway, that's a whole other story. It was prescribed to somebody else. It doesn't work for me. I don't like it. It makes me feel, I don't like the way it makes me feel. So I didn't do that. I tried CBD.
Yeah.
I've tried, you know, other things. I don't want sleeping pills, you know, because I've tried them Ambien in the past and it works wonders, but it's a mess. I'd rather just sleep like a normal human being. But going through menopause, you can't sleep like a normal human being. So if anybody on this call is menopausal, then you know you can't. So I'm struggling with.
What I do know about going through menopause, though, is there are also things that you can explore for that as well. We're not just helpless to menopause, right? We have to figure it out. We have to try things. We have to experiment.
Yeah. And the thing is like, I want to try to break the drinking habit altogether. I don't want to rely on that to relax.
Yeah.
Because like, even during the day, like if I went out for lunch, I would never dream of getting a drink because it's associated with sleep with me. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So I wish, and I've tried going to bed without it many times. It's just like this, it's like a fear of insomnia, fear of, you know, that I've got to figure out how to get over. And I was just wondering if anybody here had any advice, and I'm seeing some things come through.
Oh yeah. There's lots of different ideas there in the chat about different things that you can try, but it is like you say, it's a habit that you've created because you've associated it with the insomnia. But yeah. What else is true? Why is the drinking a problem then? If it's a good solution, why is it a problem?
It's a problem because it's caused me to gain weight.
Hasn't caused you to gain weight.
Oh yeah.
The too much of it and the eating and all of that together. So
it's probably 500 to 600 calories after dinner before bed.
Okay.
That just, and I've read all about how your body metabolizes it. You know, it's just burns into your body stops burning anything until it gets rid of the alcohol. So I'm wasting, you know, 6 of my 8 hours on the alcohol that I drank. So even if I did well, I'm like stuck.
Yeah.
So I feel like I need to remove it altogether.
Yeah. And to notice though, that it's this story that you've created that the alcohol is what's helping you sleep.
Yeah.
And the reason you've fortified it by, well, the times that I don't, I lie in bed tossing and turning, thinking I should have had a drink.
Yes. I'm never going to sleep. I have a busy meeting tomorrow. I'm never going to get up. And it's just this anxiety. I just want to put it to sleep. And that's what the alcohol does.
Yes. Yeah. So you need to figure out, we need to look at what all the thoughts are that are going on. You can run them through the 4 N's process. Normalize. Of course, these thoughts are coming up. It's been 7 years now. I've done a very good job at creating this habit. Of course, these are here, right?
How would you? Yeah, and it's not just the drinking. I have a problem with food too, but the drinking is what I wanted to talk to you guys about, to see if anybody else struggles with that, you know? And, I don't want to label myself an alcoholic, you know, but the fact that I rely on it to do something kind of makes me feel like I have a problem with it. You know what I mean? So
figure out let's talk about you though, because finding other people and getting support that other people are also going through this, that just reinforces that, okay, we're normal. Well, I can tell you, you're normal.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
You're normal. We have a whole course on mindful drinking here.
I know. I haven't jumped in there yet, but I'm going to. Because I listened to Corina, and I know she likes her wine now and again, but she works it into her plan. Instead of drinking every day, my goal was to say, okay, I'm going to have a drink with my husband at dinner on Friday night. But I have to somehow separate.
When you do that, do you plan it?
Of course. But I never stated the plan. I don't, because I have to dissociate.
Why not?
Lack of sleep with the alcohol. That's my problem. Okay. So I actually think, I lay in bed without alcohol and I meditate and I love it. My grandmother used to do it. She's 99 years old and she used to do it where she started at her toes and thought about her toes and then thought about her ankles and went all the way to the tip of her nose. And then by the time she was asleep. Sometimes it works, but sometimes it doesn't. So
there's all types of meditation apps as well.
Yeah. And believe me, if you saw my nighttime routine, wash my face, brush my teeth, spray my pillow with lavender. You know, I have the most expensive bedding you can imagine. I have dark out blinds. You know, I've done everything to turn it. But when you're afraid of not being able to fall asleep, you do anything you can to make sure that doesn't happen.
And why are you afraid? What's the thought you've got?
I mean, it's all tied up together. It started with, I couldn't sleep when my mom was dying because I was grieving, right? So that helped me sleep. So then I was like, oh, well, there you go. That drink will help me sleep. And then when my brother died, oh my God, my world ended. So of course, what did I do? Instead of I ate and I drank because that felt better. You know what I mean? I numbed the pain. So that's associated. It's all wrapped up in that makes me feel better. Relaxes me, takes away the pain.
It sounds like it's a way to avoid some of the grief.
I mean, and he died now, what, 3 years ago? Don't you think I should have?
Wait, you're just supposed to be over this now?
Yeah. There's no time limit on grief. I realize that, but it's like.
But maybe not for you?
No. And I lost my mojo, you know, like my will to be healthy and happy. I lost all that with all the grief. And I'm sick of it.
Yes.
I want to be happy again. And I don't want to wait 250 pounds.
You need to allow yourself to grieve. Allow yourself to feel that discomfort.
Yeah. So the journaling is not my thing. It's not my thing. I'm trying to make it my thing. I've bought the beautiful journal. And with the spiral thing, and I write in it as once a week or so, and then I just go, that's not helping. So it's not my thing. I'm trying to make it my thing. I do have an accountability group, and they're wonderful. We just kind of met. We're getting together on Sundays on Zoom. So I'm looking forward to having a closer relationship with those ladies. They seem wonderful.
Excellent.
So anyway, that's why I wrote in. So thank you for listening.
Well, you're very welcome. I know Judith also put in a link in the chat for a call that was done with a grief counselor at one point. That might be a good call for you to listen to.
Yeah.
But noticing that we're trying to block feelings, and one of them might be that uncomfortable feeling that I can't get to sleep. It's okay.
Yeah, and I keep telling myself I'm not going to die if I don't sleep.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. But it's one of the important things for weight loss, right?
Yeah.
That's and I need to lose 80 pounds.
Well, and drinking and then eating in the kitchen isn't going to get you there either, right?
No, it's definitely not going to get you there. I promise.
So one thing at a time, right? Yeah. Again, same thing I told the last person. We're working at meeting ourselves where we're at. Not discounting that we need time to grieve. And trying to pull it apart little by little. Accepting that it's going to come up from time to time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. I'm glad I'm here. Thank you.
We are so glad to have you. So keep working on that journaling. Keep working on the writing of what the thoughts are and stuff, but you may need to have some sleepless nights.
Yeah. And my friend said, you should start drinking beer since I hate beer. So then I won't drink much.
Well, and remind yourself of the thoughts that you said earlier, which is this isn't actually helping.
Say that again.
You said this isn't actually helping.
No, it's not.
It's not actually helping. We're kind of like lying to ourselves.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I'm reading a book right now. Several books, but I'm reading one that is really enlightening about, you know, why people drink alcohol. And there's another book called Alcohol Lied to Me, and that's pretty cool too. So I'm doing the work, girls. The work.
And yeah, and are you in the Facebook group as well, the Mindful?
Yeah.
Yes. Well, tag me if you have any more questions. I'm your coach in there. So.
All right. Your name says Corrine, but that's not your name. What's your name?
Oh, I'm sorry. My name is Lisa.
Lisa. Okay. Lisa. Awesome. Thank you.
I won't rename myself. All right. Well, it was great to meet you, Terry.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. Okay. We have Genesee. And you're going to tell me if I'm pronouncing your name correctly or not. And while you're coming up, I'm going to rename myself finally. I'm going to ask you to unmute yourself. Oh, you're unmuted. I can't see you.
Can you? You can't see me.
There, I've asked you to start your video. Are you able to start your video? There we go. Wonderful. Now I can see you.
Hi.
Hi. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too.
All right. What are we coaching on tonight?
So I have been a nurse for 13 years, and my whole career I have been pretty successful, and I'm currently working on my master's degree and was recently promoted to an RN4 position, which is a management position within the state. And I, when they gave me the job, they had promised certain hours, and they kind of just told me this, what a job was, you know, and it ended up not being that. Well, I was 18 days from being off of probation, and I got reassigned.
Okay.
And I asked why, and she couldn't tell me why I was reassigned. She said, I don't have to tell you. And I said, did you talk to any of my team? And she said, I don't have to.
Okay.
I have never been in trouble. I have never been under investigation. I've never had this happen to me before. Okay. And then the reason I came in is because it's a humbling experience that I've had to endure, even though that I know it's not about me. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to make it not about me, because there's so many things that lead up to it that are, it's not me. Yeah. It could just be, you know, my personality. I don't know, but it's awfully humbling to have to tell your husband that you've been, you know, reassigned or demoted, and, you know, he doesn't understand why, you know, I don't understand why. I have to tell my family, you know, and so I feel like I've let my family down. I feel like I'm a failure, you know, and so it's just all of this emotion coming up for me.
Why are you thinking you're a failure?
Because I couldn't make it as a manager.
Is that true, that you couldn't make it as a manager?
No, it's not true. not true at all. And I, you know, for the most part, feel like I'm good at what I did. And that's what I got was, you know, my team really loved me and said that I had made such a huge impact in the 6 months that I was there. But yeah, I go and it's just such a like uncomfortable environment to the point where I went to work on Sunday and I was sick. I was sick because they didn't take me out of the position that I'm not qualified for, or not qualified. That's not right. The word that I can't do, but they didn't reassign me out of that position. And so I had to go and sit in there and it's just, I mean, I was nauseated. I had horrible reflux. I wasn't sleeping. My blood pressure was extremely high. You know, it's just a whole ball of emotion that, you know, it's embarrassing to tell people that you've been reassigned.
Why is it embarrassing though?
I think again, because I go back to feeling like I'm a failure.
Yeah, but you told me you're not.
I know, but that's what it so keeps what, coming
so
up.
So what if we pause for a second, what if this is just a thought your brain is offering you?
Mm-hmm.
And you get to return this. Here's my receipt. I'd like to return this thought because this is not true. I'm right. Feeling embarrassed because I think I'm a failure. But when I double check that thought, it's not even true. I'm not a failure for some right. unknown reason that apparently you're not even allowed to know. You got reassigned.
Yeah.
You have no control over any of that, right?
No, I don't have any control over it. And I think it's just not knowing, you know, why it happened or, you know, and just being so disrespected that they, as a human being, they don't even have the courtesy to tell you, you know, and there's nothing in my file. There was nothing. I wasn't ever written up. I wasn't under any disciplinary action. I mean, it's just, the whole thing is really weird. And it is like, I'm in trouble for something that I didn't do.
Yeah.
So it just is, you know, it just makes me have a pit in my stomach. It just makes me sick to my stomach, just the whole thing.
So, but when we talk about it, what makes you sick to your stomach?
I guess how I was treated and how I'm being treated in a professional organization, or let me rephrase, in what's supposed to be a professional organization.
Mm-hmm. The facts are you've been reassigned.
Mm-hmm.
Can you reapply? Is there anything like that?
So I am waiting for a reversion person who finally contacted me today, and it's been a week, and they said to me, well, we don't know what the process is and the reversion person will contact you. And luckily she was super nice and she was the only one that had taken the time to talk to me and explain things. And then she said that it sounds like there's something not correct in the way that I'm being treated.
So it sounds like you're doing what you can as far as standing up for yourself,
mm-hmm.
asking the right questions. But if like part of the problem that you wrote in about was, you know, this situation that you said at the beginning was the feeling like a failure and feeling embarrassed around your family. But that part is coming from your thoughts that you've done something that you failed here.
Right.
Which isn't true.
Mm-mm. You're right.
So if we're going to make up a story here, I don't make up a fabulous one. I was too good for them. Right? Like we don't know. We have no idea.
Right. That's a good way to rephrase it, you know, because I started initially with the demoted and then I got stopped in my tracks with that and said, don't say you were demoted. Just say that you were reassigned.
Yeah.
And so then I started using reassigned and that felt a little bit better, but still it just feels.
It's interesting gross. The power our words can have, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So really pay attention to what it is. What is the story I've got going on here? And is that really the truth? no, I don't have any proof that I failed. Mm-mm. I've asked and I was, you know, given an answer that no. And until you're given an answer of here, this is what you didn't do well. Now you can take ownership for that, but that's still not failing.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. We never fail. We can learn. We can now do something differently, maybe, but otherwise, mm-hmm. tell a story that's empowering for you.
That's awesome. I'll have to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. It's been a tough week for sure. But then I also found that I can take leave. So I'm kind of working on that so that I don't have to put myself back in that situation, you know?
Yeah. Telling a different story. Take care of yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love that. How does that feel?
That feels a lot better. I mean, it feels a lot better. I think it, you know, when you have expectations for yourself, it's hard to stomach, I guess, the, you know, what's happening. And so I think it feels a lot better. And yes, words are very powerful.
Yeah. So work on bringing it down to facts and deal with the facts. The rest is the story. And like I say, if you're going to make something up, make it good. Right.
Yeah.
But pay attention to what the facts are. I was reassigned.
Yeah.
The end.
The end. Thank you. That's perfect. I was reassigned. The end.
The end.
Yeah.
All right. And yeah, you have any more questions? Ask coaches, Facebook.
Okay.
We're here for you.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. It was great to meet you. And did I pronounce your name? Genesee?
You did right. Yeah. Oh. Yeah. I was impressed. I was like, oh, she actually pronounced it right.
Excellent. All right. Yes. Well, you have a good night. All right.
Thank you. You too.
There. Bye.
Bye.
Okay. I will put you back down. And I think that is it for tonight. We've actually gone a little bit over. I apologize. But thank you to everybody for your vulnerability tonight. I know we posted some really great resources in the chat to some calls. So thank you so much to Coach Judith for that. And yeah, it was great to be here with everybody. I hope you have a good night. Bye.